Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Hallelujah. Amen. This Wednesday is Veterans Day, and so we celebrate the veterans. And if you've served in our forces, would you stand? If you're here today, would you stand? Of course, you're here today if you're listening to me. I'm a real bright one, am I? Amen. It's great to we celebrate you guys. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We appreciate your service. You may be seated. Amen. That doesn't seem like nearly enough. I know we should do something more. We had someone scheduled and they had to be out due to the coronavirus. I left it off the bulletin, but we're not having service on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. That's the 25th, so I just wanted to tell you that. Last night, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me, and I felt like when he spoke this to me, he was bringing it to me so that I could talk to you about it for just a little bit. I feel like that no one's happy this week. Democrat or Republican, we're just disappointed with the process and with everything that's gone on. I just want you to know, if you are a believer, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, we love you. And we're not going to let that divide us. See, the body of Christ is given a mandate, and that's to love one another. It doesn't say Republicans love Republicans and Democrats love... Man, come on. So we love you and we care about you. And I think that this is more than just this week. I really believe that 2020 has been such a spiritual battle that the Lord dropped this portion of scripture in my mind. And it's Psalms 137, and it's where Israel has been taken captive. And they are being led off as captives. And the army that's taken them off asked them to sing them a song. Let me just read it to you. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion." You remember how life used to be. "We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it, for there those who carried us away captive asked us for a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they answered and they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" I believe that there are those here today, maybe those that are watching us, that would say, how can I worship with what's going on in my life? That could be about election. It could be about something totally different. I told the story earlier about a family member who we asked to sing one time at our house, and they had gone through some great difficulty. And he answered us and he said, "We don't sing anymore." And the Lord brought this portion of scripture to my mind when he said that. They lost their song. I want you to know the kingdom of God is about singing. It's about worshiping. You cannot separate worship from the kingdom. It's heaven is going to be a noisy place. You think I've got a loud voice? There are those that surpass me. We won't need mics in heaven. It's all mic'd. It's going to be a loud, rowdy place as we lift up. You know, I was thinking as we sang that song, you know my favorite song is "I Exalt Thee." I love that song. But I love this one. It's quickly becoming my favorite. That all my life, he's been faithful. My life started off very difficult. Very, very difficult. I got saved when I was 7 years old. Some of you don't even believe a seven-year-old can get saved. And I want you to know, I did. And it transformed my life at seven. And I can tell you this, all my life, he's been faithful. Roy quoted the psalmist last night, when he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. There's too many Christians this year that are conceding, saying, just get me out of 2020. Just let the ball drop. I'm done with this year. Remember last week's sermon, God's still slaying giants. I'm going to tell you something. I might go out kicking and screaming, but I'm not going out defeated. I am going to win in 2020. Last night I asked Roy if he would quote this psalm. And he did, and man, it just like come alive in me. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it's a gift that we receive from him. You can claim this verse. Whatever we do will prosper. Don't lay down your hope. Don't lay down your toys. It's not time to go home crying. It's time to win. You hear me? It's time to win. I want to speak to you today from the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. If you're watching us online, God bless you. Hope you stay with us. Let us know if you're watching. I love it when some of you say, the Woodards are watching or something like that. That makes us feel good when we know who's watching. Acts chapter 19. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit can move in your home just as like he can move in this church. And so I'm praying that that's what happened today. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a water of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Father God, we come before you today looking for the Spirit of God to speak. God, this is not about intellect. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to feed our spirit, to teach us. God, if we came looking for an intellectual talk, we are going to be sorely disappointed. Our ears is open to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Our hearts need revived, and we need a touch of God. I pray today that all depression and despair would be gone from this place. Every heart, every eye that's watching today, I pray that all that junk would be broken off of us. Every bit of fear and anxiousness that the devil has tried to attach to us, I say is broken in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for liberty and freedom in the house of God, including the living rooms that people are watching us from. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Salvation always necessitates a decision. You are not saved until you make a decision to follow Christ, a decision to believe what he said is true. Too many people hear a message and feel good and leave without making the decision. And there must be a decision made, a decision to surrender. That's why I so much enjoy this position right here. Because when I see this, it reminds me of two things. When an army surrenders to another army, this is universal, right? They throw their hands up in the air. Come out with your hands up. We should say that in the house. We should put a sign over the door. Come in with your hands up. It's a place of surrender. Amen. Just, Lord, I'm sorry. But the other thing that I see is when a child needs loving, when a 2, 3, 4 year old just needs mom or dad, they throw their hands up. It's just like, pick me up, daddy. And man, I tell you, when I come into the house of God, so often that's my prayer. Pick me up, daddy. I need your touch today. I need the touch of God. Paul is going through the upper peninsula of Ephesus, and he finds these disciples. The Bible calls them disciples. He begins to talk to them, and he says, have you heard about the Holy Spirit since you believed, since you were baptized? Did you hear about the Holy Spirit? And they answered these words. They said, we have not even heard about the Holy Ghost. We don't know what you're talking about. Robert Morris is one of my favorite teachers in all the body of Christ. And he wrote this book, The God That I Never Knew. Been in church all of his life, but he said he didn't know anything about the third party of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. See, I find that much of the church is right where he was at some years ago. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. I've never heard of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how you can read the book of Acts and not see the Holy Spirit. If the devil had blinders on your eyes, you couldn't be any more blind than that. To read the book. The book of Acts is still being written. You understand that? It's the Acts of the church. So it's still going on. So Paul begins to minister to them. Now I looked it up in my Dake's Bible. And it said it's very possible that these people had been baptized 26 years before Paul met them. That's before Christ came on the scene. So not only did they not know about the Holy Spirit, they really were still looking for the Messiah. They didn't know that Jesus had come. They didn't know the story. Paul begins to explain to them about Jesus, how Jesus has come. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the grave. He left us, but he sent the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Paul rebaptized them. Now, it's one of the very few times in Scripture that you see that anyone was rebaptized. Why? Because their baptism was a baptism of repentance that was looking forward. By faith, they were believing that the Messiah was come. Paul said, I got news for you. He's come and gone. You don't have to believe that he's coming any longer. He's been here. You missed it. But they were people of faith. They quickly believed the message that Paul taught them because they allowed him to rebaptize. So Paul baptizes them in the name of Jesus. Jesus told us in Matthew, Acts, that when you find a believer, you baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So I think that's probably how he baptized them, but it's still the name of Jesus. I baptize you and the Father, his Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And then they came out. They are now saved. Right? They are now saved. The Holy Spirit is in them. Then Paul said he laid his hands on them and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. I'm amazed at how Satan wants to hide certain truth from the body. I was talking to Treva's former boss Friday night, we went out to eat together. He is such a scholar. I mean, the guy is brilliant, especially in the Torah and the Old Testament. And somehow we got off on the number 13. To most of us, 13 is an unlucky number. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't even use the word luck. I've removed it from my category, from my language, my vocabulary. Because luck, I believe, is from the root word of Lucifer. I don't believe in luck. I believe the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. I believe God's bigger than luck. Okay? So anyway, what was I talking about? Who knows? 13. He begins to tell us about 13, and he says how 13 was such an anointed number in the Bible. Because there was 12 disciples plus Jesus. It was 13. So all through the Old Testament, he said 13 is a very, very important number. What does Satan do? He realizes the importance of it, and so he changes the meaning of it. To us, it's an unlucky number, but to God, it's an important number. You know what I thought about? I thought about 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. Is there any more important aspect, characteristic, virtue of God than love? No. They'll know we're disciples by the love that we have one towards another. Right? 13 is a powerful number. If Satan would try to hide the importance of that number, how much more do you think he would try to hide the importance of the Holy Ghost? I will exchange those names periodically. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. I'm an old man. When I was a kid, it was all Holy Ghost. When we read King James, it was the Holy Ghost will come upon you, the Holy Ghost. And somehow through the years, they switched the language on me. Now it's the Holy Spirit. He's more popular as a spirit, but he's still a ghost to me. Amen. Spirit, ghost, I don't care. I just want him. What you need to know is he is the third member of the Trinity. He is God. When I was a kid, I remember hearing messages that you should not worship the Holy Spirit. And I thought, that doesn't make sense. He is God. No, you just worship Jesus. I'm going to tell you, folks, you worship the Holy Ghost too. You worship because he is God. We need to quit pushing back and start embracing everything that God has for us. So Paul explains this to him in Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. He says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." What that tells us is when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you. Most people confuse this. And they'll say something like this, "Jesus dwells in my heart." And I got news for you, that's not scriptural. The Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for you. So then who is in our heart? It's the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that dwells in your heart. He's there. But as we can see from this story, there's two different manifestations. We get the Holy Spirit at salvation, but then we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he begins to talk to his disciples because he knew they were going to be upset. He said, "Guys, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you fatherless." He said, "I am going to send you one of the same kind." The Greek word is allos. It means one of the same kind as I am, just like me, except he's not limited by flesh. He is the helper. He is the teacher. He will lead you into truth. He will edify and exalt Jesus in your life. John chapter 16, verse 8 through 14, he says, "But when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Because they do not believe in me of righteousness because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judge. Let me just say, most Christians do not understand that portion of Scripture. But when he has come, when the Spirit of God has come, he will convict the world of sin. All of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and begins, you feel like your heart is just going to thump out of your chest. That's the Spirit of God calling you to become a disciple, calling you to become a Christ follower. He is convicting you of your sin. You surrender to him. But then the next couple of words is what gets us. He says, and of righteousness and of judgment. Who is he going to convict of righteousness? Us. Most Christians do not understand that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what do? We live like sinners all the days of our life. We pray like sinners. We walk around like sinners. You're not a sinner any longer. You're a saint of God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, this is also powerful. It starts with verse 17 when he says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. He goes on, he says you're an ambassador. You're reconciling the world to me. But then 21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Don't miss it. You're not a sinner any longer when Jesus comes in your heart. The Holy Ghost will convince you that now you are the righteousness of God. That's powerful. You know why? Because it changes the way we pray. All of a sudden, we don't come to heaven with a humble attitude like, God, I'm not worthy. Yes, I am. I am worthy. Why? Because I'm so good? No, because Jesus made me worthy. It's a gift of God. It's not about me, but I'm telling you folks, when you get this one, you'll understand that you pray different. You pray with power. You pray with authority because Jesus has given us authority. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost Spirit is the one that does that for us. He gave us that authority. In John chapter 20, verse 20 through 22, Jesus looks at his disciples and the Bible says that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand. Now, right after that, he tells them, now tarry in Jerusalem where you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You got to see the difference there. Receive the Holy Spirit, but wait to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. To receive the Holy Spirit is salvation. See, the disciples were not saved because Jesus had not died. They were basically Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints didn't go to heaven. They went to paradise. When Jesus died, the Bible says he descended into the deep and he led the captives captive. He took those righteous. He showed them his scars. He told them he was the one that they had been waiting for and looking for. They were the righteousness of God. They were like Abraham. They believed God. But they didn't know about the Messiah. Jesus tells them about the Messiah. I died for your sins. Now your sins are not just covered, they're removed. So let's get out of this place and go to heaven. So he takes them to heaven. The disciples were the same way. They basically were the Old Testament righteousness because Jesus hadn't died. But when he died, when he descended into the deep, told Satan, hey, you got some keys that belongs to me. Give me the keys of death, hell, and the grave because you're not the one in authority any longer. I'm the one taking over now. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus, praise God. Isn't that good? So he takes away the devil's authority. You hear that? The devil's been lying to the church. You know, the Bible says that when we get to heaven, those of us that have been beat up by the devil, we're going to look over and see that old monster. And we're going to look and say, are you serious? You are the one that caused me all the grief. You're not anything. We are powerful. He convicts the world of sin. He convicts us that now we are the righteousness of God. And he convicts us all that there is a judgment coming. You better live your life right. Let me tell you, if there's one thing that needs to be restored to the body of Christ, it's righteousness. It's holiness. It matters how you live. It matters how you talk. It matters. Be ye holy as I am holy. I thank God for grace. I wasn't raised with much grace. So I'm thank God for the message of grace. But the Bible tells me to purify myself. There is a purity that we are still supposed to walk in. We're not just looking and saying, thank God grace covers this. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You're going to bust hell wide open is what you're going to do. God expects you to be holy as he is holy. Holy means separated. So he tells them, he says, now I want you to go to Jerusalem and I just want you to wait. I want you to know that we call this Pentecost, not because there was speaking in tongues, not because Pentecost was a denomination. Pentecost was a feast that the Jews celebrated. It happened 50 days after the Passover. That's why it's Pentecost. Because 50 days after Passover was the Feast of Pentecost. Now 50 days after the Passover, the year that Jesus died, was now the giving of the Holy Spirit. He came on this feast. Can you remember in the 70s when the Catholics started getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues? People, all Methodists, just people in the streets were just accepting the Holy Spirit. It made Pentecostal people mad. I thought that was ours. I thought we were a little better than the Baptist. God's not a respecter of people. If you are willing, God is willing. If you're desiring, God is desiring. In Acts chapter 2, Pentecost came. The Bible says they were in one place, in one accord. I've never seen the church so divided as I have watched it recently. We're hating on each other. God forgive us. I don't care how you voted. I think that might be a greater sin than voting whichever way the Lord wanted us to vote if you voted differently. I think the greater sin is the sin of division. On Tuesday night when I meet with the young men, we covered in the last couple of weeks the seven things that God hates. Six things God hates, seven are an abomination to him. One is people that sow discord. A lying tongue. Guys, it's time for the church to unify. It's time for the body of Christ to love each other. It's time for you to start loving your kids again. I don't care if you're a Trump follower and your kids are voting Democrat. It's time to love them again. Time to forgive them. Say, I'm sorry you're ignorant, but no, I'm teasing. Man, you can't even joke about this stuff. I am serious about coming back together. We've got to. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know. But I know one thing. God's still in charge. President Trump never was my hope. My hope has always been in Jesus Christ. Amen. And him alone. So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, touched the 120 in the room. You know what the sad thing about it was? At the beginning of the week, there were 500 gathered together. 380 people got tired and decided, I think I've waited long enough. They went home. And then the Holy Spirit came in that upper room, touched their lives to the point that Peter stood up and preached to the city and 3,000 people got saved. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Why? Because he tells us in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. Power to be a witness. It's different. We could teach a monkey if he could talk. We could teach a monkey how to witness. Can you distract? God's not wanting to teach you how to witness. He's wanting you to be a witness. That's different. But when the power of God is within you, it's not just what you say, it's who you are. It's the power of God in you. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, who was one of the seven deacons that were what we call deacons, one of the seven men that were appointed to help the distribution of wealth to all the people, wasn't even really a preacher, but he goes down to Samaria and starts preaching to the city of Samaria. And man, God begins to call him in. The whole city, I mean, a great multitude is the way the word reads. A great multitude began to accept Christ and get saved. Peter then, with somebody else, I forgot who, Peter and John, of course. Peter and John goes down to Samaria for one purpose. Do you know what that purpose was? To pray for them that they would receive the thing, same thing that they received in the upper room. So the people had got saved. Then Peter and John go down. And God moves Philip. He says, okay, I've got a guy out here in the desert that you need to go see. Turn it over to Peter and John. He takes him out to the desert to speak to one man. Leaves a revival where the whole city is rejoicing and getting saved to go after one. Does that sound like a familiar story? Jesus said, I'll leave the 99 sheep to go after the one. Maybe you're that one. Maybe your daughter, maybe your son is that one. Do you realize God cares that much? He would leave a revival. If you know anything about preachers, you would know what a miracle this is. When things get happening, you can't even get the preacher to a restaurant. He wants to stay where the Holy Ghost is moving. You get that? Man, we love to see people's lives change. We love to see people get saved. So Peter and John come down. They begin to lay their hands on them. They receive the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in tongues. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. I'm sorry. But something happens that Simon, the sorcerer who got saved, but still worldly minded, wanted to purchase. Now, if I lay my hands on Treva and I say, receive you the Holy Spirit, and nothing happens, she just sits there like a knot on the log. How many people are going to want to buy that? I don't think so. But the demonstration of the Spirit of God causes something to happen that people witness. And that is what Simon wanted to purchase. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 46, Peter is told by a vision not to call anything unclean that God has called clean. Remember, he saw the sheep coming down with the animals that they would not eat. And he said, eat, eat this. And he said, no, I will not eat that. I'm a good Jew. I'm not touching that stuff. And there was a message there for Peter to quit calling certain types of people. That might be a message for the body of Christ. Quit calling people. Do I need to get specific? Do we understand where I'm going? God loves us all. Jesus Christ died for every color, every race, every tribe, every nation. Shame on us. Shame on us. So Peter, there's a knock on Peter's door and they said, you need to go with us to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. So he goes over to their house and he realizes he's in uncharted territory. He's like, I've never done this before. A Jew was not allowed to go into the house of a Gentile. That was not kosher. You're not supposed to do that. Peter goes in because of the vision that he realized God's teaching him something here. He goes in and he begins to talk to them about Jesus and explain to them salvation and how Jesus really is the Messiah. but not fully understanding whether they can accept this or not. And then all of a sudden, something happened that blows Peter's mind. You know what it was? They begin to speak in tongues. He realizes that the same thing that happened to him and the others at the day of Pentecost now is happening to these Gentiles. And then he realizes, God, you really are the God of all, not just a few. It opens his eyes. Why do we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? First of all, he's a great gift. When Jesus left, he sent us the best. He says, one of the like kind. I've got to go, but I'm sending you one that he will be your helper. He'll be your teacher. He will be your lead and your guide. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How many of you have some weaknesses in your life? The rest of you perfect? I don't know about you, but I can raise both hands and probably a foot. I got lots of weaknesses. The Spirit of God comes in us, begins to dwell in us, to help us. You know, most of my life I thought I was stupid because my dad always called me stupid. You want to speak or you want to pray?
I have something to share with y'all. I don't know why, but I have to tell y'all this. All right, so I had a dream not too long ago, and y'all don't know me, but in my dream, I was at the foot of a mountain and there's an opening at the top. I walked up towards it and there's a sheet or something laying on the ground. I sat on the sheet. I was told to do this by my heart, you know. I sat on the sheet and a man came out the hole of the mountain on the top and came and sat down next to me. It is tattered, worn, exposed, you know. He had like kind of an odor coming off him, like he'd been there a little bit. And he had asked me for a favor. He had pulled some socks out of his bag. And this was our father. This is my father that was seeing me, obviously. He had pulled some socks out of his bag, and they were like wool socks. They're kind of thick. And they had a bunch of stickers on them, you know. He asked me to clean his socks and remove the stickers. And that's it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing, brother. God is wanting to pull some things out of our life. Yes. Wanting to clean some things in our life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in your life. And he begins to help identify. Let me say it this way. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He does not force, he does not push, and he does not scream. He has got a very quiet voice. He's very gentle, and he gently nudges you towards Jesus, pushing you, sharing in dreams in different forms like that, speaking to you. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me last night when Sheila was praying. The Spirit of the Lord spoke. I mean, I just heard it just like that. It was so quick. And he said this. He said, "Don't count me out. Don't count me out. Don't count me out in 2020. I'm still God." Right? Don't count me out. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, I have weaknesses. You have weaknesses. The Spirit of God has been sent from heaven above to baptize you in the Spirit of God. It's different than salvation. It's an infilling, an overflowing of the Spirit of God in you. So that the power of God now resides in you and he will help the weakness of your life, whether it's intellectual, emotional, physical. You know, some people just have a weak body. I'm thankful. I got a strong body, but a weak mind. So the Lord come in me to touch my mind, but maybe he comes in you to touch your body. The Lord helps you, whatever your weakness is. Jesus or the Holy Spirit comes in you to help that weakness, strengthen it up, shore it up, so that you could be whole and forceful and powerful in the Holy Ghost. He also brings gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, he tells us there's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, gifts of the works of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. You may say, I don't understand why I would need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can answer it in just a few words. Because Jesus said so. You don't have to understand it. If he told the disciples, tarry here until you're baptized, he'd already breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he says, tarry here until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, you need this gift. I got news for you. He would tell each and every one of us the same thing. Receive the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He brings you gifts. He is the power gift. He's the one that strengthens you, enables you to accomplish more than you can in your flesh. Isn't it just like Satan to blind us to this precious gift of God? That Robert Morris would write a book that says, The God I Never Knew. How many Christians could write a very similar book? I never knew about the Holy Ghost. Well, you do today. Today, your eyes are open. I have spoken truth to you because I've spoken the Word of God. Our brother testified of a dream that he had. God is trying to get our attention. God is speaking to us. If you think 2020 has been rough, I don't think it's going to get easier. But God, we need the power of the Spirit of God to keep us going through, right? The Bible says in the last days, the spirit of deception would be wild. It would be running wild. It would deceive the very elect if he had not cut the time short. What do we need? We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that God can help you through. Now the Bible says that the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. In other words, you maybe have not been taught this way before. You maybe have been told that that passed away with the disciples. You maybe have been taught that that's for some people, but for not for everyone. I got news for you. When you understand the goodness of this gift, if God would give it to me and not to Joey, then the word of God is not true. Because God says he's not a respecter of people. And if he gave me this great gift, but he wouldn't give it to you, then that makes that verse false. God wants you to have the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of a verse right now in Romans chapter 8. We all know 8:28, but 8:31, he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you know one of the things that God wants to give us? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to walk with him. Do you realize the Spirit of God is the agent of God on the earth today? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. God's not stepping off the throne. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit has been here from day one. At creation, God spoke the word, which John 1 tells us, the word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. He was Jesus. The word was Jesus. The Spirit hovered upon the face of the earth, just like that. He's just hovering over the earth. What's he doing? He's waiting for the command of God. He's waiting for God to speak the word so he will go into action and he will complete the word. Do you know he's the same God? Do you know the Bible says that the Spirit of God is listening for the voice of God in heaven? He hears the command of God over your life and he brings it into action. Don't believe the lies of the devil The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today, and it's for you. You don't have to be Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Church of God. You don't have to be any of those things to receive this blessed gift. What you have to be is saved. Just born again. God wants you to receive the Holy Spirit. Now maybe you're not ready, maybe you are ready, but one thing is undeniable. You now know. You have to deal with knowledge. I have not told you anything unscriptural. I have walked you through a bunch of scriptures and let you see that it is prevalent, it is real, it is relevant for this day. If they needed the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago, I promise you we need Him today. Things are not getting easier, baby. They're getting rougher. I don't know why I called you baby, but that's that old Southern talk in me. That's Kentucky talk right there. Amen. Stand with me if you would. What do you have to do to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Please listen to me close. What do I have to do to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now this is very difficult, so listen. You have to ask. That's it. That's it. You just have to ask. How'd you get saved? You ask. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe. And what do? He saved you. What do? To be healed? You ask. Isn't it precious that God keeps it so simple for us? What do? To be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You ask. Just ask Him. Ask Him, Lord, you know what? I want everything that He died to give me. I hope you're like that. Lord, I want it all. I don't want a part of you. I want all of you. I want everything that I can get. And I need everything I can get. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? You know, I've told you this old saying many times. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But my brother said, but you can salt that horse's oats. Today I've salted your oats. I hope and pray, my desire for you today is that you are getting very thirsty for more of God. Church, we don't need less. We need more. We need to draw closer to Him. We need righteousness. We need holiness. I'm going to ask every one of you just to raise your hands to heaven. Now this is the part where only you can do this. I can't do this. But you are in the sign of surrender right now. And my prayer is that you are beginning to ask the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now you may begin to hear language in the back of your mind, and you should just pray that out. Just begin to speak that out. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It may happen to you later. I've known people that it happened in the middle of the night. People begin to worship in the shower, and all of a sudden they begin to pray in tongues. But I will tell you, it will come. It will come. It's a gift that He will bring to you, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is something that you need for your prayer closet, so that you can pray the perfect will of God that goes beyond your reasoning, beyond your thinking, and right spirit to spirit you begin to pray. So God, I pray right now that you would baptize each and every one of us with your Spirit. God, baptize us in the Holy Ghost today. Fill us up, Lord, each one of us, whether we've been baptized or not. I pray today, Lord, that we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and power. In Jesus' name, I pray and I believe. Amen. After the service is dismissed, if you would like for me to pray with you individually, I'd be happy to. I would love to. You can just come up here to the front and I will be glad to lay my hands on you and pray. Push in. Push in to receive. You hear me? This gift is for you. Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says, this gift is to you, your children, and your children's children, and to all those who are far off. That's us. We were far off in years. 2,000 years later, he's still baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. He still wants you to be filled to overflowing with this precious gift of the third party of the Trinity. I promise you, he's a blessing. He will bless your life. Raise your hand, receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you. If you would like me to pray for you, I will be glad to. Let's let this close for just a second. God bless you. For